Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. The college football regular season is officially over, and we are sad. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. the leader of the Bring the Real Big East Back Party. And with me, as always, is AJ. The Ohio State is 19-7 against Michigan in my lifetime, Mark Hazy.
I lived for those 3 days when Michigan was a basketball school.
Today, we're going to break down the good, the bad, and the ugly from the 2020 NFL draft prospects we saw in week 14 of college football. Then, we'll preview and pick the championship weekend. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Going out to Vegas, maybe. Looking for a young or a 2-0. Don't draft a running back on the first day. Don't draft a running back on the second day. Maybe draft one on the third. Or don't. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is the best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Between football season and NBA and NHL and college basketball and football, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie. Okay, it is Tuesday night as we record. Wednesday morning as you listen, if you're a studious listener.
As they all are, Rob.
As James is. Okay, couple Senior Bowl acceptances late on Tuesday night to kind of thicken this list. We hadn't had much action in terms of acceptances the last week and a half or so. So a little bit exciting. It seems like Jim Nagy sent out the last bunch of invites. And we're starting to get a class together here. And we got our first quarterback. Anthony Gordon.
Are you excited? you predicted this one, Rob.
Yeah, big win for me. I predicted one of the six best senior quarterbacks would be at the Senior Bowl.
Honestly, your knowledge knows no ends, Rob.
Yes, the Washington State quarterback accepted his invite after losing the Apple Cup.
Got dinged up in that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm glad he accepted because he's a really interesting guy. I think pretty clearly a top 10 quarterback in the class right now. Especially depending on which underclassmen declare and go. Gordon's an interesting guy because obviously only 1 year as a starter in Mike Leach's air raid. Put up some crazy numbers. Hasn't been consistent game to game, though, especially coming off that Apple Cup game he struggled in. But a dude who's got some interesting arm talent. And I think seeing him in this setting is going to be huge because, again, in that Leech air raid, which is the like only the purest of air raids where it's really just like the OG Leech air raid. Where it's a lot of, I don't want to say dinking and dunking, but like dumps, crossers, and guys who are just in space because of scheme. So seeing Gordon in a Senior Bowl setting, having to make some more tight window throws, I think this is a big chance for a guy like him who could end up being picked, I don't know, between the back end of the third and the top of the fourth round potentially, just because of, I personally think it's not the greatest quarterback class in the world.
After
Burrow and obviously Tua, we're not sure what's up there. More on that in a bit. So Gordon could be that guy NFL teams view as the late day two developmental guy.
Little off topic, but did you see all the Washington defenders and ex-Washington defensive players and the old Jimmy Lake quote just kind of goofing Mike Leach's offense saying, yes, like, it's easy to stop it when you know exactly what's
running
coming.
The same
and
five
like,
plays every year in the Apple Cup. Which, I mean, Mike Leach, again, that's why it comes back to me saying the purest of air raids. I could talk forever about air raid and the differences between the air raids. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury, Lincoln Riley, those guys were born through the air raid, but they don't run true air raids. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of other guys who obviously have the background as well, like Sonny Dykes, for example. But Mike Leach is the only guy who is, and I'm sure it's part of because of his personality, and he created it with Hal Mumey. But it's literally like five plays. They just run mesh almost like every play. But I love it. I'm the biggest Mike Leach fan in the world, despite how sour this season went and some not great quotes from the man and fake Ole Miss news. But
pretty impressive that they've, probably produced back-to-back years with a quarterback the gang drafted. So.
Yeah. I stand for Mike Leach, at least, and the air raid, of course. So Gordon, big chance for him down in Mobile.
Yeah,
absolutely. Adding to acceptances, we got TCU running back Darius Anderson, which we talked about how, other than the three senior running backs who had already accepted, it's kind of a foggy senior running back class. Darius Anderson's a guy who's pretty interesting, and I think I'm glad he's one of the guys. He's flashed a ton of big juice. Yeah. I remember the Ohio State game from 2 years ago. Just his burst alone is really quite interesting. So I think getting him in that setting, seeing how he catches the ball, and how he performs in pass pro, just because I think there's a chance he can be like a satellite type dude.
Yeah, no, possibly. There's some tools there.
And then LSU wide receiver / tight end Steven Sullivan, I think, is one of the more surprising guys who got an invite to the Senior Bowl.
Pretty interesting. And Jim Nagy's tweet seemed to imply that he's actually really interested to have him there.
I want to say maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, he was like in that awful, I guess it would have been 2 years ago, in their awful, like, terrible offense with Danny Etling. He was kind of like, I don't want to say their go-to guy, but he was involved a lot more in their offense back then than he has been this year, which, again, it's especially surprising considering how great their passing game's been with Joe Burrow. But, like, Thad Moss has clearly been their tight end one, and then they've got one of the two best receiver trios in the country. And, like, Steven Sullivan was kind of, like, just not involved much at all this year.
Pretty much,
I think he's going to be there because of, it says, like, he's listed as a receiver / tight end, but I think it's because of the potential of him as a weapon at tight end. I think he's like 6'5", 240. We've seen receiver converts. Darren Waller's obviously the hot one to name right now. And I think that's a big part of the reason they got him there. And again, not a great tight end class, really not a great senior tight end class. So I think Nagy, with this and the next guy I'm about to say, is just wants to get more eyes on these guys in these tight end situations because they for the potential, essentially.
Can I read something funny from his bio quick?
Sure.
So obviously he's listed as a tight end, 6'5", 242. First line in his bio on the LSU page. One of the tallest receivers in school history at 6'7".
Heck yeah. I hope he actually is 6'7".
That'd be a lot cooler.
I mentioned the other tight end. Portland State's Charlie Tomopoulo. I don't know if that's how you say it.
Good effort. It
wasn't really. Anyway, he's a guy who I haven't seen anything on him yet. There isn't really anything out there on him for us right now. But I've heard people talk. Like, he dominates his level of competition from what I've heard. And guys like Dane Brugler have talked about him before. Just a high upside athletic guy. So I think they kind of got the clear four top senior tight ends in the country there. And they're just filling out these final spots here with potential big upside guys that scouts haven't seen a ton of.
I like that. I think, especially for the tight end position, I love when they're small school guys. And obviously we've got a couple. And for him, Julius Thomas is the clear comp, right?
Oh, it's got to be, right?
It has to be the only other Portland State. Actually, no, there's been a couple guys, but only other Portland State tight end.
But, like, I mean, just looking at the tight end group, obviously they've got Bryson Hopkins. They got Jared Pinkney. They got Harrison Bryant.
Troutman.
Troutman, these two. And really, like, after that, everybody else isn't a senior. Mm-hmm. And Jacob Breland got hurt.
Yeah.
But
again.
So it's like very, like, I kind of. Oh, and Josiah DeGuara is already there, too.
And DeGuara.
Yeah. So, like, I think I'd rather see these two guys at tight end than somebody who we've seen plenty of and kind of have a fair idea what they are. I don't want to name names or anything, but like Sean McCoon and.
Whoa. You look at this.
And Joey Magnifico. Just to throw two guys under the bus for no reason.
Fuck, you're so mean.
Okay, two more Senior Bowl guys. Pit corner Dane Jackson. Kind of surprising. I like Dane Jackson a little bit. I haven't done really anything on him since the summer.
Summer,
I had a late seventh on him in the summer. Long, lean guy. I like him a man. Not the most aggressive dude, but smooth and has some length.
Yeah, kind of, like you said, kind of surprising, but a little interesting.
And then LSU long snapper, Blake Ferguson, I believe your number one ranked long snapper.
Yeah, number one long snapper in the country to me. Clear choice for the Senior Bowl. I'm just making stuff up.
Honestly, no one could have said no to you on saying that.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure there are long snapper fanatics in college football, who think their team has the best long snapper in the country.
Maybe. I don't know.
I guarantee
you. Our boy from Oregon from a few years ago. We were really.
Tanner Crew. Yeah. I will never forget his name, and he should be in the NFL right
now. He's the greatest long snapper I've ever seen.
He blew up the Senior Bowl.
I've never seen anything like it. Anyway, before we get to the big declarations, a couple of East West Shrine Games / NFLPA Bowl notable acceptances. For the East West Shrine Game, Missouri quarterback Kelly Bryant, Georgia receiver Lawrence Cager, Temple receiver in AJ's. Love of his life, Isaiah Wright, Miami linebacker Shaq Quarterman. I think those are four pretty nice. Kelly Bryant's Kelly Bryant, so whatever. But the other three are pretty nice guys.
Though honestly, all four of them are because at least Kelly Bryant's a name to maybe get some interest for regular fans. You know what I mean? Guess. I don't know. I give them some credit. You know how much I love them down there. Anyways, no, the other three are good gets. You know how much I love Isaiah Wright.
Yeah, Isaiah Wright, I think, it's a very low-key good one. Shaq Quarterman's a guy some people were so high on for.
Yeah.
Old school thumper. And then Lawrence Cager, obviously, big body, high upside in terms of athleticism.
Cager's an interesting
one. Yeah, no, definitely. I think part of the reason he's been more low-key is, he'd been banged up at Georgia this year, obviously, grad transferred there, and only started coming on kind of late in the year on those back shoulders that Fromm loves to throw. Okay, and a couple PA ones. The PA kind of...
They're doing good.
For what they can get, they're doing well, yes. Arkansas tight end Cheyenne O'Grady, Kansas State center Adam Holtorf, Oregon offensive tackle Brady Aiello, and Oregon offensive lineman do-it-all man Calvin Throckmorton.
Throckmorton, the most interesting of the bunch?
Yeah, definitely. A guy who's played snaps at every position on the offensive line, started on all four positions on the offensive line at Oregon. I'm kind of surprised. I guess maybe the NFL, I mean, I like him as like a clear day three prospect. So yeah, I'm kind of surprised he wasn't at least at the East-West Shrine game.
And I mean, O'Grady's interesting too.
Yeah, a guy who got kicked off of Arkansas, so I think that's part of the reason this is his route.
Yes, but when he's been on the field, he's
interesting. Yeah, and again, not a great senior tight end class. And then Aiello is a guy who I think would have started at right tackle pretty much like 90% of college football teams. He just played on an offensive line that had
one of the best.
Yeah, five future NFL offensive linemen, and like he was just there. Anytime there's an injury, he would fill in at like any spot. Well, technically, he'd go to right tackle, and Throckmorton would fill in at any spot. And then Holdforth's just like a classic, what you expect from a Kansas State center. Like he's BJ Finney. I'm gonna write that comp down.
All right, write down the Julius Thomas one too.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, into maybe slightly more exciting news for the NFL draft. We got a couple official declarations to go along with who we had so far. Just JJ Taylor.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe somebody else.
No, it was just JJ, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Just do your list.
Okay. Maryland running back Anthony McFarland Jr.
Yep.
Colorado receiver LaVisca Chenault Jr. TCU receiver Jalen Reagor.
No surprise.
Missouri tight end Albert Okwo. Because I'm not going to try to say that. Missouri center Tristan. I can't say names today. Tristan Colon Castillo. Missouri defensive tackle Jordan Elliott. And Penn State edge rusher Yetur Gross-Matos.
So the big takeaway is Mizzou guys want to get out of there.
Fair. Coach fired. Bull ban. I get it. I think the most surprising, though, just speaking of the Missouri thing, Castillo. I watched him today because he declared. There's some things I like with him for sure. I have like a high-end undrafted grade on him. Really struggled as a run blocker, I found. He ducked his head a lot power was his weakness. Like a big nose can just blow him off the ball. But he held up nicely in pass protection. I thought solid anchor, solid hand use. But yeah, kind of surprising. I think Chenault and Reagor, both pretty obvious ones.
I mean, yes.
Both at schools where it's not getting better, and they're both very, very talented. And at minimum top 100 picks, I mean, probably, like, that's being, like, they're going to go earlier than that.
If I had to bet, like, this is a wild thing to say, but, like, if I had to bet on, like, any receiver coming out, I felt like Rager's, like, the safest pick.
Really?
Of the more low-key, I don't know, what's the point of going back there for him?
Oh, no, I totally agree. Like, his production dipped because the quarterbacks were terrible.
Yes, exactly. I just mean, like, it was... He's got...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, and he's going to run really fast, and he's a good route runner. Like, I am huge. I'm a big fan of him. One of my top 10 receivers. And then...
like, one of the guys that, like, almost... Sorry, Rob. They, like, got forgotten a little bit during the season, but, like, I think he's going to show up big come like with the draft.
Yeah, no. When you watch him, the quarterbacks are just... I mean, the same thing happened when I watched Chenault versus Oregon today. But, yeah, Rager's just getting thrown under the bus by his quarterbacks. Like against Oklahoma State, he put up like 128 yards. It did this game today, and he should have had like 200 yards.
Yeah, and like with Chenault, like some weird usage in past years at Colorado, and then like Montez is a flying call.
Plus injury history with him too. Like go cash in. I think he's a guy who I think people are going to be very all over on.
I agree.
Like, I don't like him as much as some people. I have a high second round grade on him.
I think I'm around the same area as you.
Some people are lower on him than us, and some are much higher. So,
yeah, it's gonna. And again, testing's gonna be big for him.
Yeah, and just the medicals.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think, obviously, Yetur Gross-Matos, not surprising makes either. Sense. Guy who has the tools to be a first round pick. I think. Combine testing is going to be like kind of the story for him to get there because he's pure potential to me. We've talked about him. He had his best game of the season against Ohio State last week. So going out on a high note potentially.
The last couple of weeks has been like better for him.
Yeah, and then the start of the season for sure. He needs a pass rush plan and needs to add more tools to his pass rushing toolbox. But yeah, so much athleticism. Size,
no athleticism, yeah.
Heavy hands, and the size. So, and then I mean McFarland, I could just get out of Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, explosive guy. Not, I don't know. He had a good week this week. It makes sense. I think like someone will take a flyer on him.
I think Jordan Elliott's one of my a lower key guy who I like. So I think Missouri guys are just trying to get out though. And we also had a couple of guys announce they're staying. A pair of Penn State offensive players, Pat Freiermuth, who we just found out is actually eligible for the draft as a true sophomore because of 5 years in high school. And then Penn State center Michael Minette, Ohio State edge Jonathan Cooper, Iowa State edge Jaquan Bailey, and then Grant Calcaterra retired.
Yeah, that sucks.
It does suck.
Hopefully, he wants to become a firefighter, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. But again, adding to this tight end class with Freiermuth going back and Calcaterra retiring, like it's not a great group already, and it's... And that's to go with Cole Komet, who we talked about. Yeah. He announced he'd go back to Notre Dame. So, again, not a great 10-end group.
In the last 3 weeks, too, especially for Freiermuth, it was like people saying he's got top of round two, end of round one potential.
Yeah, because the most upside among tight ends. I'm not going to like lie. I haven't like dug in on his film because we didn't know he was eligible, and then he announced he wasn't going to come out anyway. So, but, yeah. After Hopkins and Hunter Bryant, I think the tight end group really drops off.
It's muddy.
Yeah. Okay. That was a lot of that. The business we had to get through. But you know us. We're all about business.
You wanna talk the Tua stuff before we get into the good stuff? So Ian Rappaport, I mean this was a report from Tide Sports, a long quote from Tua that actually is very interesting and you should all go read it. But one snippet that Ian Rappaport quote tweeted, he said from Tua, "If I leave, I think the risk is a little higher. That risk would be how far do I drop in the draft. To me, it's a 50-50 chance between going in the first round and possibly going in the second round."
I think that's crazy. Because, I mean, it was very reactionary when the hip stuff first happened, all the Bo Jackson career ending, all that stuff. And obviously at that time, no one knew for sure what was going on. And then as we got more information, it seemed so much more promising. And at that point, I think a lot of people just kind of assumed, me included, that he really isn't going to fall. Like the Dolphins, for example, would still take him fourth overall. But then now hearing stuff like this... you have to kind of assume someone's talked to the NFL at least to kind of put this in his head.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be coming from nowhere. Because if you go read the quote, he's put a lot of thought into this. He says it's like it's going to come down to what his parents think when he thinks, obviously, and God. But this is kind of crazy to me. It's kind of crazy. I don't think he slips if he falls, but like it's got to be coming from somewhere.
And let's say if he does go back to Alabama because of it, this quarterback class is brutal.
Yeah.
I just don't see him falling, just because again everything we've heard has sounded very promising about the hip, unless there's more to it than we know.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, yeah, like you said, it all looked good. And, I mean, like, okay, hypothetically, if they're worried about that, Herbert and Burrow go ahead of him, and that's it, right?
Yeah, there's –
like, worst-case scenario.
I mean, I think the Colts are in love with Jordan Love. But, like
– but, like
– I just can't imagine him falling past, 15.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if the Dolphins have another pick, I mean, sorry, they do have another pick, but I'm saying if it's where it is, you know what I mean?
And even then, if you're going to take him there, why didn't you just take him at the top?
At 4, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's all going to depend how the draft falls, but I don't, like, him potentially sliding into the second seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to track, and that could really change how this draft looks.
If he goes,
It's exciting time with... Bowl season, declaration season, Senior Bowl, East West Shrine Game, NFL PA Bowl acceptances season, and more importantly, championship weekend. But first, let's hit our Week 14 superlatives quickly. ESPN Game Day Celebrity Picker, we got Eric Decker. Thoughts?
A little boring. It's Decker. I respect it. He wore a cool hat. He had an oar. 6.5.
I gave him a 7 because I thought the hat was just really good.
It's a nice hat.
And I was just happy they picked him.
Yeah, me too.
I like Eric Decker a lot, and I loved him when he was at Minnesota. Do you know where College Game Day is going? I forgot to...
Honestly, I forgot to check. Let's talk more about Eric Decker while one of us... I didn't know it was an oar for the longest time because he just had, like, the end side up. I'm like, why is he just holding a stick? And then he flipped it around. I'm like, oh, my God. He's rowing the boat, baby. And all's good.
Are they going somewhere for Week 15? Normally it's easy to find.
I don't know. Maybe they're not.
Excuse Championship Week? Oh, well. Yeah. Moving on.
Oh, they're going to Atlanta.
Okay. Who do you think is going to be the celebrity picker? This was a bad podcast.
Yeah, whatever. shit.
LSU, Georgia.
Herschel Walker.
I think that was your guess last time Georgia was involved.
It's going to happen.
Is there a cool LSU super fan? Shaq.
Shaq.
Ben Simmons.
Someone with, like, one of the, like, LSU ties and Atlanta ties would be cool, but it's probably just going to be a Georgia guy.
Probably Migos.
That'd be fine.
Maybe Joe Burrow's dad. Best freshman you saw in Week 14. I was going to be stuck there for a while. So.
Yeah, I know. Me too. All right. Speaking of your guys, I don't know why I said that. We weren't. Sam Howell, baby, is one of the guys.
That's a good choice for this league. I'm thinking about him, so.
He's, like, now that, I don't know, the season's not over, he's got the bowl, but, like, now that most of the season's over, what a year from Sam Howell, man. Who could have thought any of this was going to happen?
Me, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't miss old screenshots on high school quarterback evaluations.
It's true. I mean, they had to be in the Elite 11. But.
Well, yeah, but, like, let me tell you about the quarterbacks I thought were great when I watched them on these high school shows that I'm obsessed with.
This is trustworthy.
I swear to God, Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
When I watched him in Season 1, QB1 Beyond the Lights.
You did like Jake Fromm.
Justin Fields, who was I watched on both Elite 11 and QB1 Beyond the Lights.
Okay.
And Sam Howell. And at that time, Howell was committed to Florida State. What could have been... for Willie Taggart.
That hurts.
I also love a quarterback, or just like a top prospect in general, who ends up staying in state, even if it
at like a lower key
school. Like still Power 5, me but too. Like not a dominant like.
Me yeah. too.
So Sam Howell, he's our freshman of the year.
He should be freshman.
Offensive freshman. Kayvon Thibodeau should be defensive freshman.
Okay, we said it.
Okay. Do you have any other best freshmen?
Yeah. I don't want to say it, but Garrett Wilson had a good game against Michigan.
He's mine as well.
Yeah. Muffed the punt, though.
But he was wearing a different jersey, so was it really him?
Okay, what?
It's because Baron Browning's on punt return, and they both wear number 5.
Just make him wear number 15 or something. I don't know.
Make who?
Like, just have a number that's not on punt returns. I guess there's so many players on the team, right?
But I mean, just their linebacker and their punt returner. They both have to be on it.
No, but I'm just saying, give him a number that wouldn't interfere when he's on offense or on punt returns. Look, if I had a university,
that's thinking freshman, very that's confusing.
Freshmen have to earn stupid. Numbers. I don't they have want.
This conversation. Yes, Garrett Wilson, good. Who. Big time recruit from Texas, but like grew up in Ohio, came back to Ohio State. He's flashed a bunch this year, and I think him and Chris Olave are going to be one of the most interesting receiver duos next year.
Obviously, like just a lot of big plays in this Michigan game. Only 3 catches, but 115 yards, that long touchdown.
Star, yeah. Justin Fields, star. I had him for best freshman, and Texas running back Roscoe Johnson. I watched all of Texas versus Texas Tech. We talked about him before. He's a quarterback converted to running back. Tom Herman's running a shit show in Texas, but he's a bright spot.
It's true. It's a cool story, too.
I enjoy watching him. He runs really hard.
I mean, I think even though they do have Keontae Ingram, who's been banged up this year, like, Roscoe Johnson's definitely a dude to watch next year as a true sophomore as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, best sophomores you saw. I have a whole friggin' list.
Yeah, me too. But, like, they're all just the big names
for
me.
Yeah, every guy I've listed's been on this for me before.
Yeah. Okay, Jalen Waddle, yes. I'll go first. Was the playmaker for Alabama. Yes. 4 catches, 98 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just after the catch, that one, the one long one where he crossed the field, it's just like, holy shit, that speed. And obviously the 98-yard kickoff return touchdown. Man, he's explosive, and I love him.
Yeah, he was the star of the Alabama offense for sure, and helping Mac Jones out a whole bunch.
Mac Jones is better than I thought.
God. He also threw an interception off a guy's back that was returned 100 yards for a touchdown.
It was fucking sick. Anyways, want me just to keep going with big names there that we can just cross off every week? Okay, Rashad Bateman. Again, 6 catches, 147 yards, touchdown.
Yeah, he was like Minnesota's only consistent of all all their star players. He was the only guy who really, truly showed up against that.
Like, Tommy Johnson didn't have a terrible
game. Yeah, I got bad things to say about him.
You shouldn't, man. You love him. And then throw Jamar Chase in because he just keeps fucking blowing shit up.
He just dominated Texas A&M. I think sealed himself the Biletnikoff trophy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anyways, I got a couple more, but you can jump in
here. I also have Chris Olave just sticking receivers. Only 68 yards, but touchdown. Chris Olave is so good. Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields. Ooh, I also have Justin Fields here, too.
Me too.
When Justin Fields left the game with what looked like a potential devastating knee injury.
Yeah.
And then returned and on that first snap threw his best touchdown pass of the game and one of his best of the season. It felt like a Heisman moment.
Yeah. But it's not going to be, so it's okay.
But, which
maybe next year.
Who are you giving the Heisman to? Joe Burrow, right?
Yeah, I'm still giving to Joe Burrow.
Can I ask who you've got second and third at this point?
Chase Young, Justin Fields.
I think I agree.
Yeah, and okay, one more guy because we, for who he is, we barely talked to him this year. Trevor Lawrence had a good game.
Amazing against South Carolina.
Yes, he was 26-36, 296, 3 touchdowns. What a throw! The one where he stepped up and just flung it. Plus he ran the ball well too. Like, this is Lawrence. Like, he's. He's still been fine this year, but he hasn't been special.
He was amazing down the stretch. I watched a lot of Clemson games in games that didn't matter because they play in the ACC. But Dabo didn't think they could win the ACC for some reason or something. Dabo's becoming Nick Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban said some stupid shit too. Anyways, this was the crown achievement.
It's not fair. That's my Nick Saban.
How can you whine about that? You're Nick fucking Saban. That was just
Gus Malzahn's a genius for a second.
Sometimes he is. Sometimes. Anyways, Trevor Lawrence, what a game.
I can't wait for... I mean, again, we say this every year. I can't wait for next year's draft, but Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Fields is going to be so much fun.
Maybe we'll get it in the playoffs.
Maybe we'll get Justin Fields versus Trevor Lawrence versus Tua next year even.
That's kind of nuts.
That is kind of nuts. Could you imagine?
No.
That would go down as like the... And potentially Jacob Eason and Jordan Love. What if they all just go back?
Burrow find some more eligibility somehow.
That'd be sick.
Fuck it.
Joe
just like, fuck it, let's run it back.
Okay, do you have any other sophomores?
No, that's all.
Okay, who's Weekday Warrior? For the first time in a while, it felt like not only was it a good weekday, it was the best because we get the Friday Thanksgiving games.
Yes. So clearly the best Weekday Warrior week of the year. And next week's or this week's kind of like the worst one because there's only one game, but it's a good game.
So it's a good one.
It's okay. Who do you go first?
You can't not go Bryce Perkins. He put the friggin' Cavaliers on his back. Finally, took down Virginia Tech and took them to is taking them to the ACC championship against Clemson.
You know what? I threw Perkins as one of my not sleeper, but my lower end picks for a shoot off the board. So I didn't put him here, but he deserves to be here.
Yeah. Basically, it's what a game. Immediately, just decided to carry the team on his back with his legs.
Yeah, they could not stop Perkins running the ball early in the game.
He threw for 311 yards. He ran for 164.
two touchdowns on the ground, one in the air.
And, yeah, basically just willed Virginia to the win over Tech. It was awesome. I really, really like Bryce Perkins, like the person. And then I love Bronco Mendenhall. And it was a really cool moment after the game as well. But, yeah, Bryce Perkins, really, this game is going to be huge just with NFL draft season yes. coming up. And
yes.
I don't want to be the guy who's like, well, this Lamar Jackson kid in the NFL, he's pretty interesting. I guess that means Jalen Hurts is a top 10 pick. But I do think having a guy like Bryce Perkins would be, as like a late day three pick as a backup quarterback, would be very interesting, especially for a team like the Ravens, who
I've always been fond of having an athletic backup quarterback. Of course,
it throws a new wrinkle at the defense, so if he's thrown into the game or spot started or anything, they have to prepare for something a little different, or they can't prepare for it if he's just thrown into the game.
Exactly. And especially like a guy like with good leadership qualities and like all of that. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, just going back to this QB class, is we were talking about how murky it is in terms of depth.
Yep.
Like, I would rather take a chance on Bryce Perkins late day three than a lot of other guys.
That's why I think Perkins, like, maybe not, he's not going to skyrocket up the draft board, but I think he helped himself a lot in this Vautech game. And, yeah, this Clemson game is big for him, too. It'd
be interesting to see if he ends up at the Senior Bowl.
I hope so.
I think he'd be a really interesting guy to get there.
I think he'd help himself a lot if he got there. Yeah. Like, just to, like, get in that, like fifth round spot. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? We're like, fuck it, let's get a guy that we can lean mm-hmm. on. You know what I mean? If we need to. Anyways. Week Day Warrior for me. One of the best players in the class, so I had to put him here. AJ Epenesa for Iowa.
Yeah, see, I put him in a different section. So basically same idea. We both...
I just wanted to lock down my warrior. You know, that's my most important superlative. Dominated the Huskers. They squeaked out the win. 14 tackles, 5 TFLs, 2 sacks. Another guy that just turned it on.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a guy who, like, he hadn't been playing poorly or anything, but just especially quiet. Compared to how dominant yeah. Chase Young had been. There was a lot less talk about him, and then in the last couple of weeks, he's just been a freak show.
Fucking wrecking
ball. And it's really interesting because there's rumors him and Tristan Wirfs both plan on returning to Iowa.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, the way Epenesa's playing, it's like, to me, like, he's a top 10 player on my board at least, and I'd be hard to see him not go in the first round.
Can I say Wirfs just seems like such a stud for that team? Like a leader for that team, you know what I mean?
Flipping
like
from left tackle to right tackle, dominating all the time. Yeah. Strongest guy on the team.
He was like the first guy out there when they made the kick, or like to congratulate the kicker. Yeah. I don't know. He just seems like such a
leader. I like them both so much. I think part of that is true. Is like Kirk Ferentz just knows how to develop leaders.
He does.
I put Devin Duvernay here.
Okay, good one. I almost forgot about Devin Duvernay. I'm glad you brought him up.
Him and Roscoe Johnson cooked Texas Tech. He had 199 yards and a score. He's a guy.
Where do you have Duvernay? Sorry to step on your toes, Rob.
The more I watch of him, the more I really like him. He's got like that Deebo Samuel type of build and yak ability.
Yeah, he's interesting.
I have him as a third round guy right now.
But he's helped himself a lot.
He's going to be at the Senior Bowl too, which is huge. And depending on like who declares again in this receiver class, like I think he's like receiver 14 or 15 for me right now. But again, so much depth, and depending who declares and whatnot. But I am a big fan of him and what he does after the catch.
Yeah, I threw Hunter Bryant's name in here because I thought he was probably the best Husky.
I think he was, or on offense at least.
On offense, at least. Yeah, lots of good guys on defense. Yes. Molden, especially. Yes. Anyways, I just want to get his name in there, too. 6 catches, 96 yards. He's Jacob Eason's go-to guy, and it's obvious because we thought they had some receivers, but obviously kind of just a mucky year for all those guys. Yeah. But Brian just, I think he's just kept making more plays down the stretch as they went on.
I think he's got a very, very good chance, especially considering who they announced as the finalist for the Mackey. I think it's going to be his.
Yeah, and I think he's got a good chance to be the first tight end off the board.
Michael Brisson
Hopkins. It's him versus Hopkins, but
It's a two-man battle. Yep. Okay, best prospect you saw?
I'm going with Derek Brown from Auburn. Ooh,
That spin move alone,
and it blew up
Twitter. I almost put him down for outplay the box score. Even though he had 7 tackles and 3 TFLs, because
I did
like,
too.
He it felt like he was getting so much pressure, and the fact that he just didn't have a sack.
Yes.
And yeah. He was just blowing up their offensive line. But then I was like, it makes more sense to put him at best prospect anyway.
You know what I did? I was going to put him at box score, and then I looked for someone who was better and thought about it. I'm like, no, he deserves to be best prospect.
He was a freak show. Like, he's a guy who people had questions about him entering the year, and like I remember I think I like tweeted in a mock over the summer, and I had him like 14th or something, and, mm-hmm. and people, I mean, not to say this person knew what they're talking about, but like people like acted like he isn't a first round talent and stuff, and there was like multiple people on draft Twitter who didn't think that.
That's so weird, especially because like it feels like every year we get like an Auburn defensive lineman who like overrated in the summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I didn't think Brown was that, but he's,
I think, top 10.
Every single week, yeah, I agree. He should be a top 10
pick. Let me say, I put 5 guys down for best prospect this week. All of them play defense. It's a very strong top-end defensive class.
It is.
Yeah, so I had Derek Brown as well. I had A.J. Epinesa as well, who we already talked about.
Yep.
I also had Chase Young, who he could have gone down for a play the box score.
I put him there.
Kind of quiet first half, and then just second half unblockable. But
like Michigan, like they did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
on him.
Considering then, all things considered. Yeah, but in the second half, they just couldn't block him.
Yeah, like, and I'm gonna jump the gun here, but no tackles, no sacks, 2 QB hurries, but he was way obviously better than any of those numbers. So.
Yeah,
he's like the easiest outplay the box score of the year.
He better get a freaking Heisman finalist invite. It'd be such a crime if he didn't, because there really isn't, after Burrow, an obvious offensive guy who needs to be that second guy.
No, I agree.
Like, if it ends up being Fields and Cooge, your third guy, be hurt? Like, that feels like a crime over Chase Young.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Like, Chuba would feel like a crime, too. I wouldn't put anyone over him.
Also, stick on the Ohio State defensive side of the ball, I put Jeff Okuda here. Some
little grabby Rob should have been
flexed. Shut up. Couple big PBUs. Looked amazing in man coverage against the bigger Nico Collins. He's just, I think, clearly the corner one in a deep class.
No one's, like, even doubting it.
Yeah. Anymore. He's just taken over this season. And then I put Isaiah Simmons against South Carolina. This guy was everywhere, every week, everywhere. All 5 of these guys are in my top 10 prospects right now.
I think that makes sense, Rob.
Do you have anybody else here?
No. I stuck with Brown. I said, fuck it.
Who you got for shooting up the board?
I'm going back to Ohio State. I'm going to give J.K. Dobbins his due credit
here as well.
Because, he's helped himself. There's no running back that's helped himself more. Maybe Edwards-Helaire, but like...
Najee Harris, I'd say those two.
Harris, too. Yeah, that's true. But like...
No, I'm not saying more, but like, to that degree.
Yeah, no, for sure. I understand. And like, I think, obviously, Dobbins is going to go higher than those two guys. But dominating performance against Michigan... even when, like, early on, Fields couldn't really get anything going. The offensive line just dominated the Michigan defensive line, and Dobbins just so explosive. Contact balance. I'm sorry, it makes me sad talking about it. And then catching the ball, he was good, too. He did some stuff. Like, so.
I absolutely love J.K. Dobbins, and I know there are people on draft Twitter who are not fans of his.
Why, though? Like, why wouldn't you like him? What's not to like, Rob? Play devil's advocate with me for a second.
Pass blocking?
But who, like, how many?
I know. You're making me do it, and he's my running back 3. I'm telling you, when Daniel Jeremiah comes out with his rankings, J.K. Dobbins is going to be one of his top 3 running backs, and then everyone's going to act like that they didn't, like they were there on it. But I've seen so many takes on draft Twitter about how, like, he shouldn't even be a top 6 running back.
You said this to me like 2 weeks ago, so I'm glad you got on the podcast.
Yeah, so now it's out there.
It's out there.
Because I swear that's what's going to happen. Because I was listening to DJ, like 2 weeks ago, who said like J.K. Dobbins is one of his favorite prospects so far. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
Like, the only thing that hurts him is that he's a running back.
Yeah, facts. For me, I've got him. Mm-hmm. I've also got another Ohio State corner, Damon Arnett. I thought a really nice game in Michigan. He's a guy who's his name's been hyped for a couple of years now. This year he finally actually put it all together. And I think he could be a sneaky day two guy.
Interesting. I mean, where do you think Wade goes to jump into?
If Wade declares, I think you saw that early in that Michigan game, that they're taking advantage of Sean Wade being out. And they were getting a lot of production because of it. Like, I think Sean Wade's a top 40 player, probably. Like, I think back into the first round. Like, I love Sean Wade. And he's a guy who's played nickel and on the outside.
Arnett definitely stepped up, too, after, like, Michigan started throwing the ball well, really.
He's big and physical. I really like it. I like his press. Him and press man's really awesome. The last couple of years, it led to a lot of penalties because he was overly physical, so that was kind of where I had issues with him. And this year, he's cleaned all of that up.
Yeah.
Who else do you have here?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm sticking the Big Ten on defense. I threw Zach Bond's name in here. Just as a more low-key guy, but a really good game against Minnesota. 9 tackles, 2 sacks, 2.5 tackles for loss. Solid year for Bond. I think he's helped him. Like, I don't think he's going to go that high or anything, but he's helped himself a lot.
I have him here
at 11.5 tackles on the sacks on the year, 18.5 tackles for loss.
I have him on shooting up the board as well. He has been electric. Like, every week he is the Energizer Bunny on that defense. He's really explosive. I think he could go sneaky higher than a lot of people entered the year believing.
Whereabouts?
Top, just for like, sneaky high. Top 150 at least.
Okay, no, I feel the same, yeah.
Okay, like, I think
so, too.
Especially the linebacker class not that great, and there's lots of questions and injuries and whatnot. Like, he could be, I think it depends what role you see him playing, because Wisconsin's always got these linebackers who play this, like, hybrid pass rusher off-ball linebacker role. Like, we saw Vince Beagle play it, Andrew Van Ginkle played it. Like, that's just one of their kind of positions there. And so I think, depending on what you see Zach Bond as and how he tests, I think he can go sneaky, like fourth round for sure.
No, I think so, too.
Big Ten, I have Purdue tight end Bryson Hopkins here in a loss to Indiana, 142 and 2 scores. You talked about Hunter Bryant. I'm going to stand Bryson Hopkins. He's got the size, the ability to be a seam, a guy who exposes defenses down the seam. It reminds me a lot of Mark Andrews. Okay, my last for shooting up the board is Auburn left tackle Prince Tegonoga.
Cool. You've liked him from the summer.
Yeah, no, I think he's a guy who could... The offensive tackle class is really, really talented, and I think he could be back in the first round, potentially, against Alabama. I thought him and Jack Driscoll actually both played really well against Alabama, and their two edge rushers, Trell Lewis and Anthony Jennings. They held them to no sacks, and it wasn't really talked about in the game because there was so much like craziness just going on in terms of explosive plays and whatnot. But those two holding up, I thought, was a huge reason Auburn was able to win this game.
No, for sure. It's an interesting tackle group because there's like so many names that you've seen like in the first round, you know what I mean?
Yeah, after Wirfs, Thomas, there's a lot of directions you can go.
Yeah, I mean, like Wills and Leatherwood up there now. Yes. And then after that, there's a lot of guys.
I think, for me at least, Wirfs and Thomas are like the top two. And then, I personally have Wills third, Leatherwood fourth, and Prince Tegonoga fifth.
Fair enough. I'm going to talk about another tackle in a bit. So.
Ooh, spooky. Yeah. Okay, for sliding down the board, can I start by saying I have Justin Herbert atop this because I watched the Civil War, the whole thing. It was horrible to watch. Oregon, just struggled against Oregon State, and Oregon State, was without quarterback Jake Luton and had this, I can't remember if he's a freshman or a sophomore, but he wasn't very good. And Herbert just he couldn't take over the game, really just robotic. Obviously there was a flashy play here or there, a lot of Johnny Johnson, Jalen Red screens.
Johnny Johnson.
And I don't know. He's gonna have to sell teams on himself at the Senior Bowl, I think.
I think Friday night's huge for him.
Yeah,
too.
Well, Utah's defense is loaded with potential NFL draft picks, and especially in the secondary. And if that can be his big moment game, and he can, he doesn't even have to beat them. He just has to have a big game against that defense. And yep. I think that could really change how people are talking about him heading into NFL draft season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd Herbert too. I'm just sticking with quarterbacks. Okay, let's keep talking about Jordan Love, because I still like him, but he keeps struggling. He played New Mexico, and like, I'm glad they got to a bowl game because I want to see more of him. He was like 18 of 35, 172 yards, only one interception this week, and threw three touchdowns. But like, the performances have not been impressive at all.
With him, it's just completely what he could be.
Potential.
The arm is amazing.
I like Jordan Love a lot. Yeah,
Chris Ballard likes him more than you do, so...
Probably,
That's why I think he... Like, if he declares Chris Ballard... You know how in the NBA they promise draft picks? Which I think is the strangest thing. It's because Chris Ballard promised him. That's what I think.
Oh, I like that, though. As long as he keeps his promise. Anyone else, Rob?
I got two Michigan defensive backs, Josh Metellus and LeVert Hill. Specifically Josh Metellus. Ohio State was clearly going after him. He's a guy who's going to be the Senior Bowl. He is a liability in coverage. And he's a guy we both think is going to be a special team stud, but that's about it.
But people like him, kind of.
I think this Ohio State game's really going to scare people off. Like, he just couldn't.
No,
I know you believe similar to me, and you're a Michigan fan.
Yeah. LeVert Hill had a...
So at the beginning of the game, I thought he was playing pretty solid, and then just kind of like couldn't find the ball late. And I think his lack of size was also a mismatch problem.
Yeah. I'm doing it again. I'm going to throw Jake Fromm in here. I know he had four touchdowns and it was Georgia Tech, but like his yards per attempt was better, but then he was under 50% completing. Like, I don't know, man. He's just such a fucking mixed bag. I wouldn't bet on Jake Fromm.
I wouldn't either. I got two Minnesota guys next. Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tyler Johnson. Winfield Jr. Yep. I thought you could see against Wisconsin, like, a lack of, like, there's going to be questions about his overall athleticism and ability to, like, be a center field type safety. I think he's more of a nickel because the lack of range kind of was shown. And then with Tyler Johnson, I thought he was struggling a bit to separate, and he had a drop touchdown pass. I think the combination of how clearly the NFL probably views him based on him not being a Senior Bowl invite, with struggling in big moments with drops and separation problems, it's really going to hurt him. I'm still the biggest Tyler Johnson fan in the world. Like, he's my receiver six. But it's going to hurt his draft position if he can't have these big games. The bowl game is going to be interesting for him, and then how he handles the East-West round game.
No, for sure. Agreed.
And then I also put the Alabama edge rushers just because I thought the Auburn tackles destroyed them.
Fair enough. No, they did a good job.
Do you have anybody else?
No, that's it for me.
Out of nowhere prospect?
So it's so hard late in the year. I'm going pretty deep to a junior at UCF. Safety, 6'3", 195. Antoine Collier. Kind of stood out a bit in this game. He had seven tackles. The Warren I-4, of course, if anyone watched it Friday night. I mean, I barely watched it, but Collier looked good. Seven tackles, a sack, a pick. I miss the old Warren I-4. Fuck, give me Quinton Flowers back. I miss him so much. Anyways, trying to dig deep for out-of-nowhere prospect. I doubt he comes out. He's a junior, but kind of interesting with his athletic profile and his production.
Okay. My first out of nowhere prospect is a quarterback who not a lot of people are talking about right now.
Okay.
But I think he's sneaky talented.
Okay.
But I'm ready. Position change might be needed for the NFL.
Okay.
So his name's Lynn Bowden. He plays quarterback for Kentucky.
Ah, okay.
Sweet. You didn't like how I set that up? Come on.
I thought it was going to be something so much more low-key, but okay.
No, that was the joke. He's not, like, really a quarterback. He's just a quarterback because they don't have one. Yeah.
I thought you had, like, a sneaky, sick take about, a legit quarterback that can make a switch to, like, D-end or something. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's the Bowling Green grad transfer I was telling you about earlier today. I can't remember his name now, but...
anyways, Lynn Bowden is...
I love him so much.
One of the most fun players in the country, I'll say.
The fact that... they won their rivalry game against a Louisville team that won seven games this year with Lynn Bowden throwing for 4 yards and running for 284. I love watching him. It's their offense is literally like just zone reads and like QB powers. Every once in a while, he like tries to throw a slant. I don't. No one can stop him though. Like he's a obvious K. For those who don't know, Lynn Bowden is Kentucky's best offensive player, plays receiver. Due to injuries, was moved to quarterback. Was a high school quarterback. Was moved to quarterback this season. Most games, he barely throws the ball, and it's, again, just zone reads. He ran for, like, 1,200 yards this year.
So nuts. It's nuts.
I respect him so much because, think about it, he's a junior. Mark Stoops could leave for a better job, and, like, he basically...
should want to win football
games, he is an NFL draft prospect, and, yeah, he put the team way above himself to do this.
It's like an NCAA when you go to a new school and realize they have no quarterbacks, but you move the best player in offense. That's
Lynn Bowden. I love it. I'm so happy. My real out of nowhere prospect.
Whoa.
Well, because he's not out of nowhere. He's a stud.
Oh, yeah.
Elijah Molden. You mentioned him at the top. The Washington DB. Yeah. 14 tackles, a PBU, a pick, and a TFL against Washington State in the Apple Cup. Yeah, he was just making big plays. He was all over. Eating up everything on their underneath throws. I thought he played a great game.
No, he was really good. Not out of nowhere for me because I'm heavily involved in Seattle sports.
Well, no, Twitter. He wasn't out of nowhere for me either. If you go back and listen to our Pac-12 show,
I know. But when you're this late, that's a good pick. That's a tough one.
Okay, people who made you look stupid. Prospects who made you look stupid. Then
people made me look stupid. Fuck. I just look stupid again. Anyways, I'm going with like a calmative one on a guy I liked in the summer. Maybe a little too much. Fucking Greg McCree from UCF. I liked him as a potential third down guy, and I thought he'd have like an expanded role in the offense, especially catching the football this year, because I thought he had like nice route running and good hands. He missed some time this year. Wasn't used as much. Adrian Killens has outplayed him. I still like what he can do, but he just didn't have the year I hoped. He had like 5 carries for 30 yards in the war on F4 and like 2 catches or something for 15. I still think he can be interesting, but yeah.
I'm with Carter Coughlin, the Minnesota edge rusher, who I like a lot. He struggled against Wisconsin to make a big impact other than a fumble recovery. They kind of erased him. The offensive tackles just moved him around. He's obviously a 3-4 outside linebacker on the edge. And his lack of size really hurt him in this game against the run. I also put Najee Harris because he's this season he's proved to be a completely different running back than what I initially thought about him. I love that they started utilizing him as a pass catcher. He's not that Derrick Henry, not that like there's something wrong with being Derrick Henry, but he's not like this big power back who doesn't do a ton on like passing downs, for example. Like he is a not built in that same way. He's built more upright, and he's just done so much as a pass catcher. I really enjoy watching him.
That's a good choice because I was down on him too.
And he's a guy. There's rumors he'll go back, but there's also he's done so much for himself the last couple of weeks, and like some of the pro comps on him have been wild.
Lofty, yeah.
Best prospect, first prospect matchup.
Mine is actually reversible this week. You go Bama O-line versus Auburn D-line or Auburn D-line versus Bama D-line?
I want Auburn O-line versus Bama D-line.
I want Bama O-line versus Auburn D-line because I knew you'd go that way. You go first.
There was between the trench play on both sides was just full of NFL draft prospects.
Yeah.
All four offensive tackles are going to be in the NFL.
Yes.
Raekwon Davis, Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson, Anthony Jennings, Terrell Lewis are all going to be in the NFL. It's just the SEC. It just means more in the trenches.
Bama's tackles had a pretty good game. The interior obviously struggled with Brown, though. I know we talked about the Auburn tackles already. Driscoll and Prince Tiguanogo had both a pretty good game. Yeah. So.
Prospect who played the box score?
Chase Young was just a home run pick this week.
And Derek Brown. It's just... when you're that dominant at snap to snap. Since I had them in best prospect, ooh, Black Christmas looks good. If you want to see a spooky Christmas movie, sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, the remake really, remake
really good.
It's my mom's favorite movie, the original. A little shout out to my mom.
My mom's watching The Grinch right now, so.
My mom loves The Grinch too.
For me, Isaiah Hodgins, 8-for-85 against Oregon in the Civil War, but the quarterback was horrible, and he was given Thomas Graham, another NFL draft prospect, the business with his route running.
Yeah, you love the Civil War.
I do. Well, not only is it the greatest name rivalry game, but it's the greatest state in the world. And
retweet.
Ducks versus Beavers. I just like that. That's what they are.
I respect it that like those are their team names.
And they both kill it with their jerseys.
It's true.
I also put Robert Landers here. I thought had a very strong game against Michigan.
No, that's a good choice. I'm glad you said that.
He's been like the third interior guy for them all year, but I like him a lot. I liked him in the summer as well, and he's just this kind of undersized plug inside, and he does a really good job.
Recovered the fumble.
Yeah, two TFLs recovered the fumble. The big, what was it, like 4th-and-1 run where if the running back bounced it outside, they were gonna take you to the house, but he didn't follow his offensive lineman, and Robert Landers ate him up on the inside.
Hodgins declared too, eh?
Did he?
By the way.
What?
Yeah. Tonight, a couple hours ago.
Did you just find out now?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were, like, just flexing on me, like, just didn't tell me, you're saving it to, like, be better than me?
Because I knew you were going to bring him up, and I wanted to flex. Interesting one.
Bruce Feldman tweeted. Shake my head.
Yeah, Bruce Feldman let us down.
Damn, dropped the ball, made me look stupid.
What do you think about Hodgins? I know you like him.
I'll fall for any route runner. Long, lean route runner. I wanted him to go back just because it's a really cloudy class.
Class, yeah. It's going to be hard to see where he lands in this.
He's a true junior who, like, again, I love his route running and everything. I think there's going to be athleticism questions, though. He's, like, the big, lean slot to me. Like,
yeah. Fair enough.
So, and again, we don't get to see a guy like that at the Senior Bowl. That hurts him because route runners at the Senior Bowl, that's like the bread and butter to help your stock. So yeah, I think he probably ends up like a, I don't know, 5th-round guy.
It's going to be interesting.
But I like him a lot. Like, I'd happily take him.
I feel like he could go anywhere from 3 to 5.
He's not getting in the 3rd round. There's way too many receivers in this class.
I agree.
I think he's like a 4-6 guy.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Prospect who's being overhyped.
So one of the tackles I alluded to earlier, Austin Jackson from USC. I don't think I kind of like Austin Jackson, but I'm seeing game mocked in like the teens.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been that guy.
It's been a very, I don't know, reactionary.
Yeah. I mean, throwing the tape and like he looks pretty good, but he doesn't look like a first round
guy. I named 5 tackles.
I think he's a day 2 guy.
I named my top 5 tackles already. I like all 5 of them better.
You have Jackson as a day 2 guy? Me too. And I think that feels right. But like seeing him game mocked between 15 and 20 is like you said, reactionary. So that was my guy this week.
He's clearly got a ton of raw upside. He's a guy, if he went back and developed a little more, I could totally see it. But like I'd say right now, he's not there now.
Yeah, true junior. And like 6'5", 305, well built. Pretty good. But like, yeah. Can get beat. I don't know. He's okay.
I put Anthony Gordon here.
I did that like 2 weeks ago and you gave me shit for it.
Well, what did you do it for?
Being overhyped.
Wait, no, but like why did I give you shit for it? Because no one was overhyping him too. I like was in the lead up to the Apple Cup, people are like saying he's gonna go in the early second round.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, Rob. You forgot I have the foresight.
I mean, we already talked about him a bunch already because of the Senior Bowl stuff, so I'm not going to go into it too much, but...
You know what I was so ready to put here until he blew the fucking doors off Michigan? Gus Johnson calling J.K. Dobbins Emmitt
Smith.
That
was sick.
And then he fucked us, so I'm like, God damn it.
It was so funny the way he did. He's just like, they're the same size, and their stats are the same.
Like, yeah, and then they had like a graphic ready. Like, it wasn't just off the top of the head. I'm like, oh,
Joel
shit.
Joel didn't know what was going on. Do you have a Dobbins comp? If I just quickly ask.
Yeah, Emmitt Smith. I don't know. Not really. I like him a lot, though. Who's yours? I forgot.
I put Nick Chubb.
I like that one. We talked about that a lot. I could get crushed by
draft Twitter for saying it, though.
But, like, Nick Chubb was underrated, too.
They all love Nick Chubb now. He's good now.
But he was, like,
my Nick Chubb was Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I like that, too. Nick Chubb is, like, I like Nick Chubb a lot.
Safe running back. Small school guy, cut your eye.
Speaking of safe running backs, on day 3 from the University of Cincinnati, Michael Warren had a good game. Cincinnati,
small school, power 6, dick.
And we'll see later if we think they're getting a New Year's 6 bowl game or not, Rob.
Okay, I put...
he was good.
He'll be playing against Antonio Gibson. That's one of the guys I put here. Not like a huge game against Cincinnati, but just... He interests me so much because he's like this receiver running back hybrid, but like not in the mold of Tony Pollard because he's like 6'2", 225. Like he's like a Cordarrelle Patterson mold.
Memphis has a lot of interesting dudes.
Mike Norvell can friggin' develop offensive skill guys. Like I don't in the group of five, I don't think there's anyone who's developed offensive skill guys the way Norvell has.
Okay, this is a bold one, but in the country, I don't know if there's anyone better getting kick returners than Mike Norvell. Every time he's got a fucking amazing kick return.
They said this year they've had three different guys. No one else has done that.
Three different guys with a return touchdown.
It's wow.
And then obviously Tony Pollard's one of the best of all time. So I mean,
yeah. And if you just look, obviously last year they had Tony Pollard, Darrell Henderson, Patrick Taylor, and then Patrick Taylor had some hype going in the year. He gets hurt. And Kenneth Gainwell comes out of nowhere. Antonio Gibson can play every position on offense. And then there's DeMonte Coxey, who's like their wide receiver one.
I like all three of those guys.
Norvell's a guy who I like. Unless I know he's talked about how he's like declined other jobs before. Because I mean, unless it's a perfect situation, why would he leave Memphis? But he's definitely a guy that the Power Five is him and Luke Fickell for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I've pounded the table for Norvell for so long, but like,
and Luke Fickell's gonna be at Michigan State. I've been saying that for weeks. I also put Charlotte edge rusher Alex Highsmith, who just destroyed old D. 12 tackles, 5 TFLs, 4.5 sacks.
Good luck in the Bahamas Bowl.
Oh yeah, against Buffalo. That's big for us. Charlotte's program like just started, and they can already get to a bowl.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah, they've done a great job.
Highsmith's gonna get drafted. Like the fact that they, I think it was, 6 years ago or something, and Alex Highsmith's already out there.
Has it already been that long? That's actually
that might
kind
be
crazy.
A guess. I don't know. I'm not.
I don't know. I trust
him. But please remember the days when you were always ready to go, AJ.
I'll try to remember.
Now you can increase your performance and get extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. It could benefit... If you could. Not it could. Well, it could. But if you wanted to make it improve and benefit from extra function and more confidence, where it counts... Your penis. Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no visiting the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal with our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. And I personally, if I was having sex, I would be taking Blue Chew all the time.
Just not
because I've sworn off it for until Ohio State is national champions.
Okay.
So
it's on the record now.
It is.
You know that.
And Michigan lost, so you
I'll never have sex.
Fact. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for supporting this podcast. Okay. Championship matchups. It's perfect. There's 10 championship games, and we picked 10 games.
It's amazing. How'd you do that?
I called Mark Emmert.
Good work.
I said, cancel this championship. Cancel the Independent Bowls Championship.
The Independents should have a championship.
Notre Dame versus BYU.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, I went 7-3 last week.
I ate fucking shit because I tried to swing for the fences and it did not work. And I will not say my record, but it was 2-8.
Oh my god, that was our biggest disparity. I'm 71-59 on the season.
Don't get jealous. I am 500.
Okay.
65-65.
I would trade my winning record for 500. Okay. Pac-12 Championship Friday night, 8 p.m. on ABC. Number 5 Utah, 6.5-point favorites against number 13 Oregon at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. The worst stadium in the world.
Thank you. Levi's Stadium is a piece of shit. I don't know how it's so new. It's the worst venue for a championship game.
Extra sucks because like Oregon and Utah are both like great stadiums on their own. And I know it's like neutral site and all this shit. But like the Pac-12 is full of fun places you could play the Pac-12 championship game. Why are you playing it in freaking Levi's Stadium?
They're moving to Vegas, I'm pretty sure. So
that's cool. That's cool. But yes, Utah 6.5-point favorite. Who you got?
I'm going out on the limb. I think I'm playing it safe for most of the other games. I'm going to take the Ducks plus the points. Just, I think Utah wins and gets into the college football playoffs. But I think Oregon hangs around enough. It just feels so Pac-12 that Oregon could upset them and they miss the playoffs entirely. But I like the Ducks still. I think Utah's a better football team top to bottom, but they're. It's an interesting matchup. I like this game, and I'm glad it's on Friday night.
It's a very hard game to pick for a lot of the reasons you just said, not only because of the players playing, but it's the Pac-12. Anything can happen in the Pac-12, especially on a Friday night. Not quite after dark.
No, it's a 5 o'clock kick.
8 for us, though, so kind of after dark. I'm struggling. I haven't fully decided. I think I shall go Utah.
It's a tough 6.5 is tough, and it's a tough game in general.
Okay, I'm gonna go Utah just because I think if they're obviously playing for more.
Yes.
I think they are better coached football team.
Yes, I agree.
I think their defense is gonna give Justin Herbert and this robotic offense a lot of issues.
Yeah.
The receivers who have struggled most of the season to create separation against this defensive backfield, I think that's going to continue.
If you can shut down Zach Moss, and that's a big if, not a lot of playmakers on the Utah offense.
No, it's going to, like, I think it's going to be a bang it out, slow. Like, Utah wins this game by controlling the clock and just playing strong defense. I think, again, low scoring. So 6.5 scares me a little more because I think it's going to be low scoring. But ultimately, I see, like, a 24-14 type of win.
No, something like that. I'll say 24-20 for Utah.
It's good. A lot on Tyler Huntley, and Tyler Huntley is a kind of a guy some people have liked in terms of NFL draft prospect at quarterback. So this could be a big stage for him.
And obviously for Justin Herbert, we already mentioned
he
that.
He needs to prove everybody wrong, I think, at this point. Okay. Saturday, Big 12 Championship, 12 p.m. on ABC. Number 7, Baylor, against number 6, Oklahoma. Sooners, 8.5-point favorites at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas.
It kind of scares me to pick the Sooners to cover the points, and every time I've not done it, it's backfired on me, like last week. I am going to take Oklahoma. I think this is going to be a tough football game, though. Baylor just plays teams tough, and they already obviously played Oklahoma tough. Oklahoma wins by 10, though.
10, interesting.
30-20 is my score prediction.
I hate 8.5 as well, but I'm also going to take the Sooners.
Yeah.
Again, playing, I think playing for more. They know if they win and Utah loses, they're in. Right?
The issue is Utah plays first, but yeah.
But I think Utah's going to win. So I guess I've wrecked this thought in my head. Anyway, Oklahoma's playing to play in the Fiesta Bowl, and they want that. They want that. Yeah.
Oklahoma loves the Fiesta
Bowl. It's going to be a really interesting battle. 8.5's a lot, but I think ultimately down the stretch, Sooners pull away. Their weapons on offense are a little too much, even though Baylor plays good defense, the best in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I also don't like watching Charlie Brewer.
Yep.
I don't like Brewer. I'll say it. It's been said.
You love beer, but you hate the Brewer.
Okay, noon on ESPN, the Sun Belt Championship. ULL against at number 21 Appalachian State. State 7-point favorites.
I think State wins, but the Raging Cajuns cover. I think they're a good football team, and they play everyone tough.
Big Rob. Billy Napier guy.
Big Billy Napier.
I'm taking App State. They've been the. It's a fun game. My boy Darrington Evans, one of my favorite low key sleeper running back prospects for App State. App State being at home. It's
been really good.
I think that's huge because the most are not. All right. Yes, thank you. I can't speak. I'm tired. I'm going to take App State. Not a lot more to say. Okay, MAC Championship, noon, ESPN2, Miami of Ohio against Central Michigan at Ford Field in Detroit. Central Michigan, 7-point favorites. What we thinking?
Can I say I love that the MAC isn't one of those conferences that has a home championship
game? Yes.
Also, the AAC's got to find a home. Not a home, but a home for the championship.
I agree. Where would you put it?
Fuck, that's on the spot. That's the tough thing, right? Because the conference is so wide. I don't know. I'll think about it and I'll come back. Anyways, Miami Ohio's kind of fallen off the last couple weeks. Had a couple stinkers, but 7 points. It's in Michigan, but it's not a home game. It's not like it's a far drive. 7 points is a little too much for me. I'm gonna take them.
I think you forgot who Central Michigan's head football coach is. It's Jim McElwain.
It's true. It is
Jim McElwain's dominant coach when he's done in the South. You see?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to take the Chippewas. I like directional Michigan schools.
Michigan's?
Yeah. Yes. My boy Jonathan Ward is a star. Okay. Hey, ran for over 1,000 yards this year. You know what I pound the table for?
Jonathan Ward's pretty good.
He's amazing. He's the best.
Okay. He's the best player in the country.
Quentin Dormady?
Right. Oh, sorry.
Do you forget that?
No,
I didn't. So I'm taking the Chippewas. I'm just leaving it at that. Jonathan Warren, Quinn Dormady.
And Jim McElwain.
Right. My big three. My Mount Rushmore. It's those three and Dan LeFever.
Fuck, I love Dan LeFever. Let's not get started on that.
Conference USA Championship, 1:30 p.m. on CBS Sports Network. Kind of shafted. UAB at Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic, 7.5-point favorites.
This was like a weird quiet season for FAU. Like, they weren't good, but they got there, and they're going to win the championship game. So, FAU.
I'm taking FAU, too. Chris Robeson, like, really took a step forward as a sophomore for them. People kind of slept on FAU this year because they were so bad last year. Robeson that defense kind of carried them. And Roland Kiffin.
Rolling.
AAC Championship, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. Number 20, Cincinnati. At number 17, Memphis. Memphis, 9.5-point favorites. Obviously, they beat Cincinnati last week.
You got to think Ritter's playing, right?
Yes.
They didn't cover the spread last week. Why are they going to do it this week when Cincy's quarterback's playing? I'm taking the Bearcats again.
I am, too. I think Memphis wins. But
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I like the points.
These are the two group of five coaches I like the most. Pretty much, I think.
I mean, I like Mike Norvell more than I like.
But if you're gonna hire, the way I'm thinking, if you're hiring an offensive guy, you go Norvell. If you're hiring a defensive guy, you go Fickell.
That's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, I think Cincinnati covers. Memphis wins again. Either way, I'm taking Cincinnati. Like you said, Ritter's playing this week. They covered without him last week. The freshman was interesting. Good, weird story, too.
Yeah, I like him. He's pretty good. Yeah, the story about, like, Wisconsin and Georgia being interested. I don't know. It's a weird one.
AAC, games are always close, especially championships, because it's just everyone. It's just such a strong conference.
You retweet.
SEC Championship, 4 p.m., CBS. Gary will be calling it. Number 4, Georgia against number 2, LSU. Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. LSU 8-point favorites.
I'm taking the Tigers. Go Tigers.
Me too, because the way I see it is, obviously this story will be LSU's offense against Georgia's defense. And although Georgia's defense is very, very technically sound. Like, they don't have stars. No, they don't. And I think their corners are kind of like the weaker link on the team. and stopping guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and obviously Joe Burrow is going to be really, really tough. And, hey, they also have Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
From Kent Hayne.
That's my thought. Like, even if Georgia's offense slows – or defense slows LSU down a little bit, like, LSU's still going over 30 points, and I just don't think Fromm can, like, generate more than 24 points in this game.
I mean, 100% agree. But, I mean, like, if Bama couldn't slow down LSU, why is Georgia going to be able to?
Georgia defense better than Alabama's, I think, statistically. Not in terms of star power or anything, but
like, I'm just saying. Like, if you had to choose one, who are you choosing?
Arkansas. Okay.
Reese
Mountain West Conference Championship, 4 p.m. ESPN, Hawaii. And our friend Cole McDonald, friend of the show.
I'm so happy.
I'm happy to get to watch this in like a big game. At number 19, Boise State. Boise State, 13.5-point favorites.
I'm taking Boise State.
I am too. Because the fun of Cole McDonald is he could throw six touchdowns, he could throw six interceptions. You don't know. The safe bet's Boise State. Boise State, again, home. That's a weird travel.
Yes.
That really sucks for Hawaii. Boise State, although I do like Nick Rolovich, but Boise State better coaching, Brian Harsin. And just overall, just such a technically sound team every year.
They are. They're going back to Chris Peterson, who obviously we didn't mention, but stepped down. Just always so well coached for the last, like, the century.
Yeah. Also, fun little, like, both teams have an interesting receiver, John Hightower, Cedric Byrd.
That's true.
ACC Championship, 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Number 23, Virginia, against number 3, Clemson, at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte.
I mulled this one over for a bit.
That,
like, 28 points.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Clemson's just been blowing the doors off teams. I'm not.
It's not worth. Worth picking against them.
No, I agreed. I'm taking the
Tigers.
And,
like, I feel like Virginia put it all on the line to take down Vol Tech finally. They get in this game. It's going to be really tough. And, like, they didn't play a great game against Vol Tech or anything.
No, it was a slot. But, I mean, it's the Commonwealth.
No, for sure. Another great name, by
the way. It's going to get crazy.
Name game. But, yeah, I think maybe Virginia hangs with them a bit early. But, like, if they just have Isaiah Simmons, spy Bryce Perkins, like, it eliminates his running ability.
Plus, all like UVA's defense is pretty solid, but all that talent on that Clemson offense,
they're with Bryce Hall, obviously, too.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Okay. Big Ten Championship, 8 p.m., Fox, number 1 Ohio State, 16.5-point favorites against number 8 Wisconsin at Lucas Oil Stadium. Hopefully the turf guy comes back and fixes the turf.
I hope he does, too. I'm, again, not fucking around. I am taking the Buckeyes of Ohio State.
I am, too. I feel bad because the only non-favorite I took was Cincinnati. I took every other favorite.
Did I?
No.
No, I took Miami. I took Miami. And ULL.
And ULL in your small school games.
And Oregon.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just blindly pick? You didn't remember any of that?
I don't remember. But I couldn't remember who was dogs.
Fair. I'm taking Ohio State against Wisconsin. Ohio State, too much offensive power.
Absolutely. I mean, that's obvious.
I don't think the Wisconsin DBs can hang with this receiver core. If they play off enough, like, J.K. Dobbins can just take over. Other side of the ball, Chase Young, I mean, even with a good offensive line, like, it's not...
Wisconsin can't throw the ball. They won't be able to throw a football.
Unless it's snowing, which it won't be because it's indoors.
It's indoors, exactly. Yeah.
And, again, Ohio State's littered with NFL defensive prospects in the secondary and defensive line.
Jonathan Taylor has to have the game of his life, and he's already done that.
I think this is going to be just a blowout. Like, I'm thinking, like, 49-17.
I hope Wisconsin hangs, but I don't think it's going to happen.
All right. That was fun. Long episode. Thanks for listening. Follow AJ, who now has a quality Twitter.
I'm my niche.
Niche Twitter.
Yeah, my niche.
AJ Marchese 13, where AJ breaks all of the firings in sports.
Mm-hmm. Big quote tweets.
And you can follow me at RapaulNFL. Tune in tomorrow for our NFL rookie breakdown. And tune in for the weeks to follow as NFL draft season heats up and bowl season heats up. And we love bowl season. Yeah, bye.
Let's go bowling!